Good morning, my friends. You're listening to the podcast with the K, available on Stitcher.com, podcast players wherever you are, and Audio Boom. Greetings, you're listening to Casterbus. This is the Doctor Who podcast, which you will find at casterbus.co.uk, on Apple Podcasts and all those other places. My name is Christian Corley. I'm hosting solo this week, but a little bit later in the show, I will be bringing you the second half of my chat with Gareth Kavanagh. And this portion of the conversation looks at the current cutaway comics projects, which I know a lot of you are very interested in. Before we do that, however, we need to have a little look at what's happened recently in the world of Doctor Who since the surprising reveal of David Tennant at the end of The Power of the Doctor. Because you see, there's some more things have happened even since James McLean and myself last chatted. There is the news that Disney will be distributing Doctor Who outside the UK and Ireland. Well, that's what we thought was going on, but it seems it's actually a bit more than that. The BBC and Sony Television Pictures and Bad Wolf and Disney Plus are all co-producing Doctor Who, which is a lot more than we ever considered might be the possibility here. Charlotte Moore, the BBC's chief content officer, said that we are thrilled to announce this exciting global partnership with Disney, who are the perfect partners to bring this very British show to the rest of the world. Russell T Davies' vision for Doctor Who has always been out of this world, and we are committed to ensuring that audiences across the globe get the opportunity to enjoy the Doctor's epic adventures with the scale and ambition that they deserve. Joining forces with Disney will elevate the show to even greater heights and reach new audiences, so it's an extremely exciting time for fans in the UK and across the world. So that's a lot bigger than we thought. It's more than just distribution. Davies himself says, I love this show and this is the best of both worlds. With the vision and joy of the BBC and Disney Plus together, we can launch the TARDIS all around the planet, reaching a new generation of fans while keeping our traditional home firmly on the BBC in the UK. And this partnership will begin in 2023 when new episodes of Doctor Who begin airing. Disney Plus, for their part, their president, Elisa Bowen, I beg your pardon, we're excited by the opportunity to bring new seasons of this beloved franchise exclusively to Disney Plus and introduce the show to the next generation of audiences in more than 150 markets around the world. So, just to recap there, in the UK, Doctor Who will remain on the BBC. In Ireland, it will remain on the channel that it's always been on in Ireland. Everywhere else, it's on Disney Plus. That means, I guess, BBC America is losing Doctor Who, which that was kind of its biggest reason for watching, wasn't it? I know there's other UK shows end up on BBC America, and that's fine. But then again, there's plenty that don't. Some go to other networks. BBC America losing out quite badly there. Now, this is exciting. You can actually see evidence of this already. The new Doctor Who logo, the diamond logo, now we don't know whether that's going to be the logo for the new series or whether that's like the new sort of overarching Doctor Who logo going forward. It's very sort of MCU. You will have noticed this. It's got edges to it and little sort of embossed depth and relief elements to it, and you've got a swirl around it, a bit of a regenerative swirl, admittedly, but it does look like something that's come straight off the MCU. There's no doubt some sort of agreement that that's the look that they're going for. It's really, really a stunning logo if you take the time to look at it in detail. And of course, it is that famous Doctor Who diamond emblem, which has been with the show since 1974. Now, there is something that we should talk about, and catch up on and try and clarify or get to the bottom of, because, you know, we don't necessarily have the necessary details to clarify it. In the last podcast, in which James McLean and myself discussed the power of the Doctor and what happened immediately afterwards, we weren't entirely certain exactly what is going on with regards to the specials in 2023. Now, the BBC has confirmed that three specials will air, and they will air in November or from November 2023 to celebrate Doctor Who's 60th anniversary. Now, we've since learned that Shruti Gatwa was not available to start shooting until the middle or the late part of 2023, which would suggest that he doesn't really make an appearance until after that, 2024, basically. Now, we know that's when the next new series of Doctor Who starts, and these specials are kind of their own little series. Now, Shruti Gatwa appearing in 2024 means, surely, that David Tennant, or maybe one or two other actors, have those three specials to themselves. Obviously, we don't know the details to that. Is David Tennant in three episodes, or is he in one? But that's worth thinking about. There could be a lot more to this whole David Tennant returns, where's Shruti Gatwa, when's he coming along question that we don't really know the answer to. Maybe we're asking the wrong question, basically. So I'll leave that with you to mull over. Now, those of you with a long memory, or even a short-term memory, will recall that I recently chatted with Gareth Cavanagh for the first time in a while. I split up the conversation because it, as ever, when I'm chatting with Gareth, it went on for quite some time. Always a pleasure to chat with Mr. Cavanagh. But the big portion of it I've saved for this week's podcast. And it's really about the current projects from Cutaway Universe and also a new edition of Warp Warp. Now, Gareth, you have chatted with us at length on many topics over the years, and invariably, not always, but invariably, we do try to find out what it is that you've been up to lately.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, because you've got the whole audio thing going on, and the cutaway comics, and was there a new Warp this year?
Yeah, there is. So let's start with Warp Warp.
Okay.
So we're all guns on Warp Warp, and it's looking very likely that you'll have a new Warp Warp to enjoy in January.
Wow.
So we'll be pre-orders on that in December. The free gift is going to be a CD this time. So we're doing something very exciting with that, which I can't reveal at the moment, but it is very exciting and very interesting and ties in beautifully with one of the big pieces in there that Richard Bignall will be working on for us for some time.
Ooh.
So yes, new Warp Warp coming. Incredible. You've only had to wait, I think, about 15 months for this one, which is, you know, God, I think the last time we got one out that quick was between one and two. So amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
that's coming. So that will ruin... That completely ruins January for me. So I'll be in my unit packing hundreds of these bloody things.
It's going to ruin my shelf as well. I'm running out of space.
Oh, well. Oh, dear. Well, you know, can I swap? Because I think I can live with that. So, yes, so Warp Warp is coming.
Yep.
Cutaway Comics, yeah, lots of stuff going on there. So we are well into... so we should have the final Paradise Towers, I think, is also out in January. It should be December, but December's a really tricky month to get anything published in because all of the printers are busy, you know, with their Christmas workload. And then, of course, everything stops from about the sort of 17th.
December's a really tricky month to do anything in the best of times, isn't it?
Apart from go to the pub and...
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Watch Doctor Who, but we haven't got Doctor Who this Christmas, have we?
Well, so, possibly. Well, there's a rumour, but we don't know for sure, because it's a rumour.
That would be exciting. Let's assume we don't. and you know, and thankfully everyone's too drunk by the time that Mrs. Brown's boys comes round to even worry about it. So that's all good. So we've got that. So Cutaway Comics is we are well into Gods and Monsters. So we've got Omega is complete in that, Sutek's nearly complete, and Martin's not far off completing Faustine. So that's the first four books then. So everything that people know about is in production.
Right.
And then exciting stuff that's in the pipeline. So the Inferno strip, we were obviously waiting for Martin to get a free slot on that. So that's what'll be an Inferno prequel that then goes into an Inferno four-parter. So lots of lovely Inferno stuff. Picking up, well, before what happened in the 1970 Don Horton classic, but also after. We've got still the Happiness Patrol to do, which again, we're waiting for the very, very busy Aid Salmon to get a slot on that. And we're in discussion with at least two or three other estates for really lovely, exciting stuff, which I can't talk about yet.
It's
done, but it's all lovely, exciting stuff. So yeah, it goes on regardless. I mean, from a comics perspective, it's been a really horrible year. Because everything is sort of double and dice, which is extremely challenging. But, you know, we're still here. We're still doing great stuff. And as long as people keep supporting us and buying it, we'll keep bringing you good stuff. So fingers crossed.
I'm just looking at goodwaycomics.co.uk at the moment. And there is absolutely tons of comics.
There is. I mean, sometimes I forget this myself, and some people, other people definitely forget it, is that our first comic came out in September 2020. So we're talking all this has happened in 2 years.
Wow.
Already got another probably 3 years worth of stuff in the pipeline, including all the deals we've got. We've got the Big Hinchcliffe book, which is in production as well. So that's going to be our first big publishing, big lavish coffee table publishing effort. So that's going to be out for November 2023. So that's a big thing to do. And it that is basically a biography. It's a critical account of the Hinchcliffe era with hours and hours and hours of new interviews with Philip, but also interviews with Tom Baker, interviews with Louise Jameson, Roger Murray Leach, all of the guys who were there, who are still with us. And there's quite a few of them, actually, who've gone on to have stellar careers. But it's really a consideration of what makes that era so special and what was the story of it. So that's going to be lovely, beautiful photos, illustrations, basically the kind of beautiful big book that we took for granted every Christmas in the 90s.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
All that House Stammers Walker stuff and all the every Christmas there was a beautiful book, and we haven't had one for a long time. So Christmas 2023, you're getting a beautiful Hinchcliffe book.
Wow.
Whether you like it or not. But you will like.
I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. I will. Crikey. That sounds all very exciting. I'm amazed you still have the drive to be putting these out.
Oh God. Now that's a really good question. I mean, for now we always have the drive. I mean, myself and Colin have always kind of joked that we'll get to walk 10 and that'll be it. Dead. Although we are picking up the pace a bit now, so maybe we need to revise that. But yeah, the rest of it, I think while there are still estates willing to entrust us with stuff, and while we still think there's great stories to be told, we will. And there'll be opportunities for new artists as well. We got such a good response off the Paradise Towers open competition. We've got two or three in mind for the next year or two. So there'll be, you know, we're trying to keep it so it's not a closed shop, so that there is a chance for us to work with new people. So
right.
Long may it continue. Long may I have the energy to do it.
And yes.
In my retirement, I will doubtless have a shed full of Cutaway Comics things. I'll be poodling down to the shop with my little shopping trolley, posting things on eBay. You know, maybe it won't be too. But I say the one thing we won't be doing, though, is I get asked about this a lot, is we're... we're not going to be doing any NFTs with Cutaway Comics, because this is, you know, Pat Mills has been, you know, has had, you know, it must be said, a pretty negative response to his NFT launch, and it's extraordinary how he's ploughed on with it when his fan base aren't happy with it. But I don't. They're not something for us, mostly because, I mean, I get that there are environmental concerns about these things, but mostly, you know, we do these comics to keep them accessible.
Yeah.
The idea that you do a comic and only 8 people can read it, it just feels abhorrent. So yeah, it's something that we certainly don't do.
The whole reputation of NFTs has kind of fallen out of its own backside as well in recent months, not just because of the Ethereum thing, because, I mean, that's less of an issue now because there's this thing. God, this has turned into a completely different podcast to what I imagined. There's a thing called Ethereum Merge, which means that almost all of the effort that used to be required for mining, quote-unquote, Ethereum, is now not a thing, and that is a big part of the generation of NFTs. But also the whole thing, because they are basically just digital files, essentially. Yeah. So,
To me, they feel like the mini disc of art, you know? Is that, you know, that people will not be able to read them or won't care about them, or someone will chuck away a hard drive, or, you know, something will happen. Whereas, you know, an actual piece of art that you've got on your wall, I mean, Damien Hirst, bless him, he does need the publicity, obviously, but his kind of, do you want to keep it or do you want to burn it and have an NFT?
Mm.
Really, you know.
I have an NFT.
Do you?
I do. I generated it for an article on makeusoft.com. And it has a price of $1,000, which I don't think is an unreasonable price for these things. And, you know, I was just typing in a price for an illustration so I could take a screenshot. So
it reminds me of when I used to go to art auctions. I was never interested in buying photography art for huge prices because I always thought, well, they can just knock another couple off if these are popular and sell a few more in a couple of years. It's something about a tangible original that I like. And, yeah, I suppose in theory I could see a sort of horrible future where comics are produced in 100 digital copies and that's it.
Yeah.
And you think, that's, yeah, okay, everyone gets paid. And the Pat Mills argument about, you know, it's a new form of art. And although I think it's less viable when it's AI generated art, because you're even cutting the artist down. Unless this is like a far future shock where the AI chases Pat Mills forever for its royalties. That would be quite funny. That would be quite astute and fun.
Well, the NFT that I created was basically, it was a photograph of an English breakfast that I ate at Weatherby Services some years ago. And then, do you know what I did then? Because it wasn't just a photo. I then ran it through an 8-bit digitizer app. So it looks
lovely.
Yeah.
Like something off the... off the Commodore.
Yeah, totally.
Like a Commodore loading screen of your breakfast.
Essentially, yeah. So that's it. And, you know, I've been a little bit disappointed that no one else admires it as much as I do. Well, certainly not enough to pay the price on it. But and, as I say, it was created for an article, so it's just a bit of silliness. But it did kind of underline to me, and this has gone back a couple of years, and things have changed slightly. I say a couple of years, I don't actually know. When was it? 2021, it was only last year. Things have changed a bit with the whole crypto art thing. But I do feel as though NFTs are pretty much a fad on their way out.
They feel dead on arrival, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I get about the ephemeral art. I mean, for me, the ultimate NFT would be a missing episode of Doctor Who.
Now,
can you imagine that being offered as an NFT? You know, here's your part 2 of The Smugglers. That's it. You know, a digital piece. God, it'd be thrilling, wouldn't it?
That's, it's a bit nightmarish, really, I think.
It is really, isn't it? Yeah. Or could you imagine? I mean, it'd be horrible to think someone had one of those cans and suddenly started cutting it up into strips of film, you know, that you can have. You can have 12 frames for £100. God, horrifyingly, it would sell. You know, the BBC offering a tour of the building and, you know, a copy of the DVD. Yeah, let's hope someone horrible doesn't find one.
Yes, let's hope. Crikey. It's funny how these conversations take a turn, isn't it?
We have taken a bit of a turn, yeah. This is why you don't have me on every week, you see, because it would just be too good. So this is like a kind of BBC 4 Sieg that we've taken here, and then it'll be back to normal, you know, normal stuff next week.
Speaking of BBC 4, have you seen the list of shows that they've got on for their celebration of British comedy for the BBC's centenary?
No, take me through it. Is it good stuff?
So on the Saturday, the 22nd of October, you've got Morecambe and Wise Perfect Christmas compilation. None of this is new. There's not even new compilations or new documentaries. There's an edition of Victoria Wood as seen on TV from 1986. There's a compilation of Not Only But Also. There's an Alas Smith and Jones from series one of that show. There is an episode of The High Life. Keep that in mind. There's 12 Angry Men of Hancock's Half Hour. An episode of Just Good Friends. Hello, hello. We're on this Sunday the 23rd by now. The Young Ones, Bambi. Red Dwarf 5, Quarantine. I'm Alan Partridge, Never Say Alan Again. Steptoe and Son, Divided We Stand. A lot of these are kind of obvious ones as well, which is not ideal, in my opinion. Till Death Us Do Part. The Best of Chewing the Fat. And then we go on to Monday the 24th. We've got Porridge, Happy Release. Some Mothers Do Have 'Em, Have a Break, Take a Husband. The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin, Episode 1. The Moral Dimension of Yes, Minster. Blackadder 2, Bells, which I particularly won't be watching because I watched it like 3 weeks ago. A Bit of Fry and Laurie, Series 2, Episode 6, which is a mistake because the funniest episode of A Bit of Fry and Laurie is Series 1, Episode 2. But that aside, there's no Faulty Towers or Little Britain, but The High Life's a bit of an outlier, isn't it?
I can't remember it.
Oh, don't you remember? It had a cast. I think it was on BBC Two show. I'm pretty sure it was a Scotland show as well. And it was written by and starred Forbes Masson and Alan Cumming. And Siobhan Redmond was in it as well, and Patrick Rycard. And it was set on a plane.
Yeah.
Good cast. But I remember it vaguely.
Is this where Alan Cumming plays the air steward?
Yes.
Right, yes, that's I do vaguely. Yeah. That's a very obscure entry.
Yeah, that would
be like a pub in there. Just for me. Well, you would hope that Fawlty Towers is going to get a prestige BBC One slot.
Well, I don't know. John Cleese doesn't seem very impressed with the BBC at the moment, so maybe not.
And say, does he? And if they beat it, luckily. Where's the Fools and Horses in there? Again, maybe that's one slot.
Well, where's the Men Behaving Badly in there? I've been rewatching Men Behaving Badly lately, and I'd forgotten how funny some of it was. Also, I didn't realise this. I was actually missing a VHS of Men Behaving Badly, but don't have any of them anymore. But back in the day, so there's three episodes from Series 3 that I've only ever seen once. So I was watching them on BritBox the other day, and with hilarious consequences, basically. I was barely able to contain myself in parts.
Well, as we are into comedy, I have to say, I just finished watching one of the finest comedy shows that the BBC has put out in years, called Ladhood, which nobody's talking about. It's absolutely superb. The third series quietly dropped onto iPlayer in September. Mm-hmm. It's a BBC show. My God, it's good. It's so funny. It's a bit like half of it's like The In-Betweeners, in that it's four teenage boys in school, late teens, knocking around doing stupid things. But it's bookended by one of them himself in his 30s, not having a particularly successful life in London. He's like Banquo at the feast, so he's quite often in the background of these scenes, giving explanations. And it's bittersweet, it's funny, it's really, really, really good stuff. I recognise myself in there, and you will recognise yourself in there. So I have to say, it's a must-watch.
I may have a look at that. Whilst we're doing recommendations then, have you caught House of the Dragon yet?
Oh, do you know, I haven't. I'm now at the point where I'm going to wait until it finishes and watch it all in one go because it seems to be going down a lot better than the Lord of the Rings series going on my Facebook. It's not the most representative of samples, but tends to be right.
Yes, no, same here, same here. I mean, I can't comment on Lord of the Rings. I haven't watched anything on Amazon for years that's like an Amazon production. The last thing we watched was Man in the High Castle, and we didn't get to the end of it because they had that big gap in it. And I now feel like if we're going to watch that, we're going to have to go back to the beginning and watch it from the very beginning just to remember what happened.
I remember making Eric Saywood watch that.
Did you?
when we were talking about Lytton and this whole sort of parallel universe plot, which he then dropped. But Eric did say he enjoyed Man in the High Castle.
Well, there you go. But both you, Gareth, I mean, you've said you're going to watch it, and I don't blame you because it's sort of two episodes from the end, I think, or three episodes from the end now, so it makes sense to wait and watch it all in one. But if anyone listening, and I know at least one person is listening, you should really check it out, if only to watch Matt Smith. But that's not the only reason. He is very good in it, but the rest of the show is really good as well.
Okay. Well, I will certainly give that a go. What else have I been watching this? Now, I've been chewing through, which is, there's so much stuff on to watch. I've been watching the new Walking Dead episode this week.
All right.
And they're not bad. Not bad. I've been watching... I can't remember. Oh, Andor. I've been really enjoying Andor.
Yeah, we're kind of... behind with that, and normally what happens with the shows, particularly the sort of more adulty themed ones, is that we'll watch them first and then let our eldest Bruce watch it because his sister's usually not interested in things like that anyway, his twin sister. So but this time he's watched it first and he's telling us that we need to watch it. So I was a little bit unsure about it because I didn't want it to kind of, I was a little bit concerned it may ruin the warm memories of Rogue One. What memories of that devastating Rogue One?
I have forgotten about Rogue One, the three episodes, and I realised by episode four that what they have managed to do brilliantly is remake Blake 7 without anyone noticing.
Oh, have they?
They have.
I'm there.
So by the time you get to episode four, at the end of it, you'll go, bloody hell, it's Blake 7. And it's brilliant. So Blake 7... if you imagine Rogue One as being the Blake Seven sequel where there's only Avon left.
Yes.
A whole new team. It works.
Excellent.
So there you go.
Someone had to do it.
And it's stuffed with 90s soap stars. So Evil Trevor from EastEnders, he who got bashed by Little Mo on Christmas Day with an iron and killed, turns up as this, he's a hefty gentleman now, but still got the evil Scottishness to him. And he turns up at this kind of sergeant in a hapless security team in part three, and he is perfection. Paul Truman from EastEnders turns up. He's great. and the evil guy in the first episode, who has an unfortunate altercation with our lead, is evil Jez Quigley from Coronation Street, who killed Des Bond. Yes. Jez Quigley is that evil bloke. And I think his mate is in one of the soaps as well. His Manx sidekick. Lots of Manx in there, which is very pleasing. So whoever that casting director is for Andor, they have immaculate soap tape. They really do.
That is, do you know what? We can't top that in this conversation, I don't think. A very big thanks to Gareth Cavanagh for joining us for the podcast. That is, of course, the second half of a conversation which first began in early October. So some of what we've discussed is a little bit out of date, so apologies for that. But with regards to the BBC comedies, you'll probably find them on BBC iPlayer should you wish to catch up with them. Links to Cutaway Comics and Warp Warp and even to my NFT article you'll find in the show notes. We'll be back for another show next week. Until then, it's goodbye.